comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth, thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. I'm here because you have a right to know, and I'm here because you matter. It's great to be back at the mic tonight. I missed it. I'm delighted to be here. I hope you enjoyed the encore presentations Friday, Monday, and Tuesday. But it's good to be back in the saddle again, as they say. I got a couple of emails from folks who said, boy, it's we miss you, you know, but it's great you're getting to have some time off. Well, I thank you for those good thoughts. It was not a vacation. And believe me, I was working on a huge project and actually spent more hours working on that than I normally spend. Working every day. I work 20 hours a day, but I spent from Friday until about 3 o'clock this morning getting about 2 hours sleep per 24 because I've been working on this huge project, very important project for the show, and I wish I had had some time off, but I didn't. I just had to be away from the mic. But thank you for those good thoughts anyway. Speaking of those two emails, I'd love to hear from you. And the way you do that is you just, if you've got something you want to say to me, you just go over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com. Click where it says contact and send me your email. Okay. Love to hear from you. Read all the email. I check it several times a day. And I'd love to see some there from you as well. You know, with 2012 just 4 days away on this side of the globe, over on the other side of the globe, it's 3 days away. But with 2012 just around the corner and with speculation and fear running at fever pitch really around the world, about the end of the Mayan calendar on December the 21st, 2012, I thought tonight would be a great time to dive into our topic, the topic we'll be discussing tonight. It is called Evil in the Open. I'm not going to be talking about 2012, not specifically. I guess there are some indirect applications to 2012, but nothing direct about 2012. And yet, because of this cloud of fear that's all around the world, I thought tonight would be a good time to dive into evil in the open. Some of what we're going to talk about you have heard about. Maybe you didn't hear the facts. But some of it you have not heard about. I think by the end of tonight's show, I think you'll have a different view of some of those things that you have heard about, and perhaps a different view of some of the things you hadn't thought about. It's called Evil in the Open, and we'll be back right after this. Right, welcome back. And, you know, I wasn't real sure if you spend just a few days away from this, as I have, you forget the order in which all the buttons have to be pushed sometimes, and you commit what we call pilot error. But it worked all right that time, so I guess I've still got it. That's a good thing, to still have it. The title of the show tonight is Evil in the Open. Evil in the Open. And what I'm going to say tonight, some will agree with, some will disagree with, and the very first bit of evil in the open that I'm going to deal with is that whenever I get email from people, I respond to it, and I generally respond to it as professionally as possible. But sometimes a person writes to me, and they're in bitch gear. And when you write to me in bitch gear, usually after about the third one I get from you, I get a shovel, and I shovel up what you're dishing out, and I send it back to you. And then usually the person that gets that does a double take and says, well, I don't want to fool with this guy anymore. And so they quit writing me. Or they do what one guy has done, who's made an unmitigated ass of himself over the this past year, 2011. And he wrote to me in bitch gear because he couldn't watch our show without joining our members area. Now, this show is always free for everybody to listen to, always. And it always has been free for everybody to listen to. Every single night you can come here, you can listen to this show, it's absolutely free. And I want it to stay that way, and it will, so long as I'm on the air, it's going to stay that way, because I'm committed to it, and I believe in it. However, we do have that ride is free. We do have a ride that's not free. It is a Rolls Royce, and it's called our members community, and if you want it, you do get the privilege of paying, because it costs me buku money to provide that. But the way I look at it is, if you support this show, you know, we don't do any ads on this show, except one of our members has a book that he's written that we do promote on this show. But we don't do any commercial advertising on this show. We dropped that several years back. And it's all listener-supported, right? And the way I look at it is, if you support the show and you help us to continue broadcasting, I want to say thank you. And the way I say thank you is, we have the Rolls-Royce ride. So you support the show like that. You join our members' community, and you're supporting the show and helping us to stay on the air by joining the members community. Then there are Rolls Royce features that you get to enjoy. It's a privilege that you enjoy because you are supporting the show. Well, he was complaining and doing all that nonsense about, oh, well, you're just in it for the money. I mean, you've been around this show long enough to know that's not the case. And so finally I told him, I said, look, I just can't keep answering these emails from you. It's obvious to me you're a freeloader. You expect me to give you everything for free, and my wife and son are not going to pay for you to have the privilege of getting everything that's in the members' community. And so what he's done is, he's gone out there and he's posted it around in various places that I think people who listen for free are freeloaders. And folks, that is absolutely a lie. Don't you realize if I didn't want you to listen for free, all I have to do is click two buttons over here on this computer and you're not going to hear it? If I don't want you to listen for free, I don't have to broadcast it for free. I am in 100% control of this. There's no corporation over me. There's no network that owns me. I'm not owned by advertisers. And don't you realize if I didn't want you to be able to listen for free, I just click two buttons and that's it. That's a done deal. Put a fork in it. It's done. I want you to listen for free. And I don't think people who listen for free are freeloaders. I do think that people who expect me to give them my house for free are freeloaders. And I bring that up not because I feel like I need to defend myself. This guy, as I said, he was in bitch gear. He made an ass out of himself. And, you know, he is what he is. And I think anybody that knows him would probably have that same opinion of him. He would not have that opinion of himself, but I think people who know him probably have that same opinion of him. The reason I bring it up is because that is evil in the open. Now, we're going to talk about some pretty serious evil in the open. We're going to be talking about not just what somebody emailed me, but there's an example right there. Those who are in our Rolls-Royce section and are watching the show tonight, you're going to see a graphic later that says something like, there was a time when the internet was all the rage, but now it's just all rage. Evil is out in the open. It's not hiding anymore. It's not a secret being kept in somebody's closet. It's right out in the open now. And it's all around us. Evil in the open. I've had these kinds of discussions with a number of people over the years, and one of the things I hear is, yeah, but what is evil? What's evil to you might not be evil to somebody else. Yeah, okay. There are some things that I think any sane, rational person would agree is evil. For instance, anything that actually causes harm to other people. If it damages other people, causes harm to other people, that's evil, isn't it? Not all evil is illegal. Evil is a moral thing. It's a moral judgment. But I would think that any reasonable, rational person would say that whenever someone does something intentionally to harm someone else, that's evil. Now, you may disagree with that. That's okay. And, you know, and if what I'm saying tonight makes you fly into a rage, you know where the off button is. Evil is really everywhere around us because there are vast numbers of people who do not have any longer any built-in restraints in them where they say, that's a line I'm not going to cross. Do you know how many people there are who really don't care if they hurt you as long as they get their way? And that doesn't matter to them if they hurt you financially or if they hurt your reputation or if they hurt you physically. I mean, really, the number of people out there who absolutely don't care and they think that's a virtue. They think it's something to be proud of that they can say, well, I just don't care how it hurts somebody. The number of those people is not only growing, it is very possibly in the majority now, worldwide, maybe not in your community, but worldwide, it very possibly is in the majority. If it's not, it's very, very close to being majority. So it's a wild and wicked world we live in. In this wild and wicked world, one of the things that is in operation is that because we really do know each other, deep down, we really do know what people are like. Because of that, it is quite easy for people to build a story and to foist that story upon you and cause you anxiety and fear because there's so much evil around us. When we hear stories of evil, it sounds plausible and maybe actually is plausible. But we have this tendency to sort of say, oh my God, it's real. Some of it is and some of it isn't, but the storytellers are, in my opinion, practicing evil if they are telling something they know not to be true. If they know that it's not true and they're telling it and it's causing fear and anxiety, that's evil. On the flip side of that coin, when you've got someone who's telling stories that are intended to make you not fear and to calm down and to trust someone, when in fact those stories are fake, they're trying to get you not to fear based on fake information, that's evil too. So I guess what I'm saying is nobody likes for the doctor to come in and say, look, you've got cancer. But you really wouldn't like the doctor at all if you had cancer and he said, you know, I don't want to hurt this guy's feelings, so I'm not going to tell him. It's the truth that combats evil. It's the truth that gives us reason not to fear. If the truth is that you have cancer, you need to know it so you can get treatment. If the truth is that there's something fearful about to happen, wicked about to happen, you need to know it so you can take evasive action and at least try to avoid some of the consequences of it. So if you got someone making up stories to create fear, that's evil. If you've got real stuff happening that's not going to be positive for you, and people who know it won't tell you about it, that's evil. So anything that's either side of the truth is evil. And we live in a world, in a society, where evil is out in the open. Now, let me show you, and I'm going to be talking about a particular situation here tonight, but let me show you what I mean about it's just out in the open. If you're making stuff up on the positive side when it doesn't exist, that's evil. When you make up stuff on the negative side when that doesn't exist, that's evil. Anything except the truth is evil. Now, I said we live in a world, in a global society now, where evil is just everywhere. It's pervasive. It's out in the open. Because almost nobody out there is telling the truth. Do you believe politicians? Do you believe the newspaper? You know, most people don't even believe their closest family members if the family member tells them something that's outside of their own little tiny box of experience. And it's because we know each other. We know that we live in a world populated by people who don't tell the truth. We live in a world populated by people for whom it is normal to fabricate either on the positive or on the negative side of an issue. We know it. We expect when we hear something that we're hearing a lie. Unfortunately, quite often, that's the case. So evil is just out there in the open. Tonight, I'm going to chase down a story that started 30 miles away from its focus. It's a story about the Denver International Airport. And I'm going to chase down a story that nobody's paying any attention to. And whenever I started researching for this story, when I started researching for this show tonight, I found out a lot of things that I didn't know about the Denver International Airport. And I discovered things that nobody seems to be talking about. There are a lot of conspiracy theories, and people get all upset, and they say, it's not a theory. Yeah, it is. If you can't prove it, it's a theory. Come on, get off of that. And there's nothing wrong with theories. Just call them what they are, though. But there's a lot of conspiracy theories about the Denver International Airport. But I'll tell you something. Those misdirect you away from stuff that's real, stuff you need to pay attention to. And I think propagating, promoting, and promulgating theories that are baseless are misdirection to get you to not look at what is real. And what is real about the Denver International Airport is really pretty amazing. What is real is fascinating in one respect, a little bit scary in another respect, but a lot of that stuff in the conspiracy theories, well, you'll see. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we're talking about evil in the open. I mentioned that we are going to be talking about the Denver International Airport. We are. But our story tonight begins 30 miles away in sort of a south-southwesterly direction from the Denver International Airport. And it begins in a town called Arvada. Now, the report that I'm reading caught my eye. I don't know if those who are watching on TV can see, but there's the title of the article. And what it says is, the title says, the headline, "Mysterious signal knocks out power near Denver International Airport, Colorado, U.S." This is Denver, December 23rd, 2011. Well, it caught my eye, so I clicked on it and opened it and read it. Now, it really, when you read this, it doesn't appear that a mysterious signal has knocked out power. What's happened, it's disabled garage doors. You know, people that have automatic garage doors and they have an opener. Something is jamming the signal and they can't control their garage doors. They can't open them, or if they were already open, they can't close them. But there's nothing in this article that talks about, you know, lights going out or anything like that. It's not the power that's gone out. It is the wireless radio transmission between the automatic clickers that people have and their garage doors. And it's not just one or two. It's about 40 at the time that this was written. It's a small town, but it's about 40 in one particular area where something's jamming the signal. And experts, it made the news there, they said experts in such matters have no idea what could be causing this. And they said, well, you know, it's a pretty weak signal anyway between your control, your remote control, and the garage door opener. Yes, it is. You have to be pretty close in order for that to work. I mean, you can't be a mile away and open your garage door with that. So, yeah, it's a pretty weak signal. That's true. On the other hand, they suggest Christmas lights could cause it. Appliances can cause it. Now, come on. In 40 homes, there is a mysterious signal. All right. Now, I decided when I read that, there's a reason, isn't there, that they told us that this was near the Denver International Airport. Let's think about this. Why didn't they just say 40 homes in Arvada, Colorado have garage door openers that won't work? Why didn't they just say there's a mysterious signal interfering with garage doors in Arvada, Colorado? The headline says, mysterious signal knocks out power near Denver International Airport. Now, if you're watching the show, you see a map. You can see in the lower left-hand corner where Arvada is. And you can see in the upper right side where the Denver International Airport is. It's about 30 miles away. Look at the difference in the size. Denver International Airport covers 53 square miles. That is a big airport. It's the third largest on planet Earth. That's big. But why would the news even be reporting about garage door openers not working? Don't you find that a little odd? Did the electricity ever go out? Now, we're not talking about electricity going out in Arvada, but did the electricity ever go out on your block? Did you ever have a time when 40 homes were without electricity? And then, for whatever reason, the electricity came back on later. Yeah, I mean, we've all had that happen. Did it make the news? Well, not only did 40 garage door openers make the news, when they reported it, they felt that it was necessary to tell us that it's a mysterious signal near Denver International Airport. So I started wondering, what's the background on that? Why? What are they saying that they're not coming out and saying? What's in the background? What is it about that that makes garage doors in Arvada related somehow to Denver International Airport? Whenever you look at this map, it becomes pretty clear that Arvada is close. It's about 30 miles. It becomes clear that it's a small town. This is a small town with a really small news item, if a news item at all. Some garage doors won't work. But when somebody decided it needed to be reported on, and so when they did, they somehow tie it to the Denver International Airport without explaining that in their article. I mean, this whole thing is just weird to me. Garage doors won't open. Okay. And so, well, here's the interesting thing. I mean, aside from the fact that they're reporting on this, you can't get them to report on a mass UFO sighting that's even seen by military personnel, but you can get them to report on garage doors that won't open. Now, that's kind of weird. It's normal for mass media, but still weird. But this story, as I thought about it, is not just a story about garage doors. It's a story about a mysterious signal, and in the mind of the writer of this story, this article, it is somehow linked to the Denver International Airport. On one side, we have Denver International Airport. 30 miles away, we have Arvada. A signal that can travel 30 miles is not weak. So if there is a relationship, as the writer of this article implies, just with the headline, if there's a relationship between whatever signal that is that knocked out the garage door openers in about 40 homes in the 7,000 block of Torrey, 7,000 block of Torrey Court. Think of what this means. If there is a relationship between the signal, they're telling us that it's done by a signal. There's some kind of radio signal that's caused this. So we know that much. And the headline leads us to link it to the Denver International Airport, although they don't address it in the article. This is a signal that is highly directed. Get a map if you can't see our TV channel right now. If you're not watching, get a map. Locate the Denver International Airport and locate Arvada, which is to the west, slightly southwest, about 30 miles away. Whatever this signal is, the debunkers in the area have been saying, well, it could be Christmas lights, it could be appliances. They're implying that it's a weak signal. Again, I say a weak signal that knocks out 40 different garage door openers? A weak signal that gets 40 of them? That's not plausible at all. So it's a signal. It's not weak. The writer ties it to the Denver International Airport, right? Well, if you look 30 miles, if this were a signal like your AM radio station, everybody out there would be getting the signal. If it were like your FM radio station that you listen to, everybody out there would be getting the signal within that 30 miles. But not only does everybody in that 30 miles not get the signal, ladies and gentlemen, not everybody in Arvada got it. It was directed at one location. That is rather mysterious, don't you think? That makes one raise an eyebrow and say, And that's exactly what it did for me. So I dug into this to find out what I could find out about the Denver International Airport. Denver International Airport went into operation in 1995. So it's been around for a few years. And there was a big stir, as you may remember, about the artwork. And I'm going to show some of that. And we're going to talk about some of that. The artwork that's inside the Denver International Airport. That's where it all began. That's where all of the stories that are, almost all the stories that are part of the various conspiracy theories about the Denver International Airport stem from, that artwork. And not just the artwork, but some words that are engraved in some floor panels, some stone. It has been suggested those may be some kind of alien language. They are not. They are the Native American names of various important sites around the area. One of them is Navajo for White Mountain. But anyway, it all began with that artwork. And it has spread from there. It has grown like a cancer from there. And, you know, you would think if you read all of those theories and you put them all together, that you would think that Satan himself has his headquarters right underground under the Denver International Airport. Now, for all I know, he may. I'm not a personal friend of Satan. I've never been to his office, and I certainly have never been underground at the Denver International Airport. So, for all I know, he could have his headquarters underground there. It's quite possible, I guess. But there is evil in the open there. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. Evil in the open. That's what we're talking about. Now, before I go forward here, I want to make sure that you understand, I am not saying that, I'm not painting, this is not a blanket statement. I'm not painting with a broad brush and saying that none of the conspiracy theories are accurate. There are some accuracies in some of them, and there are some real inaccuracies in some of them. And due to the outrage situation on the internet, they get spread as though they're true. And that's evil. If it's not accurate, if it's not true, then it's wrong to spread it. If you know it's not true. Now, you may erroneously think it's true, and that's different. But if you know it's not true, then you spread it, then that's evil. So when I talk about conspiracy theories and I say if you put them all together, you would think Satan himself had his headquarters right there under the Denver International Airport. I'm not saying, that's in no way am I saying that none of those conspiracy theories have any basis in fact. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that if you put them all together, it's bleak. It's really, really bleak. Now, what we do know, and we're headed somewhere with this. Pardon me. What we do know is that 30 miles away from the Denver International Airport on December the 23rd, actually for a couple of days before that as well, there was a mysterious signal affecting a particular part of a small town. So we're talking about something that is directional, or it is local. Okay? Now, let's back up and get this in our minds before we go back to the Denver International Airport. If there is something local that is transmitting a signal and causing this interference with these garage door openers, then it's strong enough to hit 40 different homes in this particular area of town. And so the idea that it could not be triangulated, traced, and find out who's doing it and where is it coming from, that's nonsense. You could. If it's not local, that means it's coming from somewhere else, right? That's pretty simple. And in the mind, the linkage here with the Denver International Airport is in this article. Actually, in the headline. In the mind of the writer, there was some reason to mention Denver International Airport in that headline. It's never mentioned again in here. Well, it is. Yeah, it is. In mid-September this year, we had reported. Yeah, it is. But it's reported this way. Are you ready for this? It's not reported as being linked to the signal. But there's just kind of an afterthought at the end of the article that says the Denver International Airport has a connection with the movie Close Encounter of the Third Kind. You know what the connection is? Denver International Airport is built right there where they made the movie. Now that's pretty cool, isn't it? It's built right where the location where they filmed that movie. It was just a farmer's field at the time. But that's where the airport is now. All right, so we have a signal. We have a headline. We have Denver International Airport. When we get over to Denver International Airport, there are a lot of things that people normally talk about, but there's one thing nobody ever talks about. When we say Denver International Airport, you immediately think of the ghastly murals that are on the walls in this airport. For instance, there is a picture of people have called this character Skeletor. Almost everyone says it's a Nazi-ish uniform that he's wearing. He's carrying a big curved sword. He's got a gas mask on. He's carrying an assault rifle with a bayonet. That's in the mural. You know, that's a painting on the wall inside of the airport. And almost immediately when these paintings, when the airport opened, almost immediately these paintings became a matter of great discussion. And people were really upset with these paintings. And these paintings do show some rather ghastly scenes. When we look at the one with this Nazi-ish kind of uniform, and he's wearing a gas mask, and he's got an assault rifle with a bayonet and a big sword. We see someone laying in a coffin just below him, but we see behind him a curved line of women who are all, they have their heads bowed into their hand as if they're weeping. We see a destroyed building over on the side, on his left side, the right side of the picture as you look at it. And it's pretty ghastly. But that's not all that's in the murals. We see clearly there are pictures of people laying in coffins. There's a black woman from her dress, the way she's dressed, and the decorations there, it would appear she's from Africa. There's also a child, a little girl, a little white girl, and from the way she looks, she would appear to be Northern European from her dress and her hairstyle. And she's laying in a coffin. And we see not only scenes like that, we see scenes of a burning city, a city just being consumed by a massive conflagration. And we could go on and on and on and on with what's in those murals. There are also scenes in the murals where you have people of all nations and races. There's one scene where they're all gathered around this sort of sparkling, illuminating flower of life. And they have all these happy looks on their faces. Well, people went into high gear focused on these murals. If you go on the internet, you can spend days reading all the stuff that is written about these murals. People talk about Illuminati code being in there, and maybe there is. I mean, it's on your dollar bill, so why wouldn't it be on an international airport? It's everywhere. People talk about all the occult signs and how this was, in fact, I read one that said that these paintings are the New World Order's coming out party. And they're stating openly to the whole world what they intend. And there are some gruesome scenes in these murals. But like I say, you can spend days on the internet, literally days, reading and reading and reading all the different observations and all the different comments that people have made. And maybe there's some truth to it. I'm not saying that there isn't. What I am saying is that's the wrong place to focus. Art is canvas and paint. It may depict something that is evil, but it isn't evil. Paint isn't evil. Canvas isn't evil. It may depict, the painting may depict something that we would consider to be evil, but the art itself is not, the painting itself is not evil. It can take no action against you. The painting itself cannot do anything to you. It's a lifeless thing. Evil's active. But one thing these paintings do, one thing these murals do, is they get everybody looking that direction. They get everybody talking about that. And I don't know if it was intended for this, but that's what happens. And maybe we miss the real stuff. Welcome back, and for those of you who have joined us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. I'm delighted you're here, and my sympathy to you for whatever it is that kept you away for that first hour. We're talking about evil in the open, If you're jumping in just now, you'll have to try and run to catch up, because we have covered a lot of territory here. And at the moment, we're talking about the Denver International Airport, but the reason we're talking about it is because of a mysterious signal 30 miles away that interfered with and disabled about 40 garage door openers. And you may say, who cares? That's exactly what I said. Who cares? Until I thought about the article. It is mysterious because nobody seems to be able to trace it down. Nobody seems to have traced it down. A totally illogical explanation was given by so-called experts. Well, it could be Christmas lights that's causing interference with these weak signals put out by garage door remote controls. It could be appliances. It could be anything. Yeah, but it's not. It is a signal that's jamming at that frequency. And it's just in that small area of a small town. That is either local or directed. And the writer of the article mentions in the headline that it's near Denver International Airport. And nothing much else is said about that. Nothing else is said about any connection between that signal and Denver International Airport. So we're talking about the strange anomalies that you find at the Denver International Airport. And there are many. As a result of those strange anomalies, beginning with the mural, beginning with the artwork, many, many conspiracy theories have grown up, and I'm not here debunking conspiracy theories. There are parts of those theories that I think I'm not debunking, but I think we need to back up and say, maybe not on parts of those theories. Now, I've talked about this artwork, and I've shown on our TV channel some of it, and it is the kind of stuff that you would look at and you'd go, ugh. Why is that here? I mean, I'm in an airport. Why do they have depressing scenes like this in the airport showing death and destruction? Well, the artist who painted this mural is a man by the name of Leo Tanguma. His explanation is that all of the murals taken together, and they're in several parts of the airport, taken all together, is intended to show man's progression from brutality to peace. That's his explanation. Since he painted it, I guess he knows what his intentions were. But the conspiracy theories say that this artwork is the coming out party for the New World Order, where they've just put it all over the walls of the airport, what their plans are, that they intend to depopulate the planet, and so forth. There is yet another thing that is pretty interesting about the Denver International Airport, picture-wise, and that is, if you look at a satellite picture of the Denver International Airport, what does it look like to you? Well, it is laid out pretty much in the shape of a swastika. That could be accidental. It could be that nobody actually even thought about it. They just laid it out functionally, and it turned out to look like this. And the reason I say it could be that is because, though it does have the general shape of a swastika, it's not proportional. The top of each line should be level with the top of the other lines. For instance, on a swastika, You come from the left side, a straight line down, take a right turn, go a little ways over, turn down, and take a left turn. And then on the other side of the swastika, it ought to start right where that top line ended. You ought to start right at that same level. But it doesn't. And so it does have the general shape of a swastika, and yet it is not proportional as a swastika would be. So, I can't discount that it was intended to look like a swastika. At the same time, I can't say that, I can't say it was a coincidence either. I mean, it could have been planned. But, you know, I just think that people make a big deal out of that, and that really is probably not a big deal. So where's the evil? Ladies and gentlemen, I think the evil in the open is to focus on everything that keeps us from looking at what the real story is. I think the evil in the open is to take something that is either on the positive side or on the negative side of the truth, either way, and promote that as though it were the truth. That's where the evil is, because when you do that, it keeps you from looking at the truth. It has you looking away from the truth. And the truth is pretty much laying out there on the ground. Some of the conspiracy theories, and I'll tell you what the truth is in a minute. Some of the conspiracy theories talk about this fence that's around it. And they make a big deal about there's a fence around the airport. And it has barbed wire on the top, and it's angled inward. Well, first of all, the existence of the fence is required by law. That's federal law. To keep people from wandering on to the runways. And there are six of these runways. The runways actually play a part in knowing what the truth is. And we're not going to get to the bottom of the truth here, but we're going to get some pointers in which direction to look. The runways actually point to some of the truth. There are six of them, and you have to have a fence around the airfield to keep people from wandering on to the runways, to keep animals from wandering on to the runways. You have any idea what would happen to a jetliner if a dog were to run right across the runway just as the wheel touched down? You'd have a lot of dead people. So it's mandated by law that they have to have the fence. Well, what about the barbed wire angled inward as though to keep someone in instead of keeping people out? I've read about this, and then I talked with someone out in Denver who confirmed this for me, that there is barbed wire, strands of barbed wire across the top of that fence, but it's just sticking straight up. It's not angled either way. So take that for what it's worth. Again, the stories, either to the right or left of the truth, are evil because they keep us from looking at facts that are there. So what facts are there? Well, let's take a look at these runways. See, one of the things that we get told is that there's a base under the Denver International Airport. We've been told some specifics about it, and I don't know how accurate these specifics are. We've been told it goes eight levels down. So what do we know about the Denver International Airport? We know that it covers 53, count them, 53 square miles. It's big. It's way bigger than that town that has a bunch of people living in it, Arvada. It's big. It's the third largest airport on this planet. We know that there seems to have been way more excavation going on than would have been warranted for building the airport. We know that there is a pyramid that has arisen out there. Kind of, I guess it's dirt and rock, but it's in the shape of a pyramid, kind of on the south. I think it's on the southeast corner of the complex. So it's plausible, at least, isn't it, that there might be some deep underground military base there. It is possible. It's plausible. We have heard about various government agencies that have actually moved into this deep underground base. Maybe that's true. That's impossible to know for sure, but maybe it's true. It certainly is plausible, and in this case, we don't have data. Look, we have data about the murals. The painter tells us what the purpose of the murals are, what the purpose of the murals is. Now, you can choose to buy that, or you can say, okay, well, that's his interpretation, but, you know, paintings speak, and I think that the paintings are a statement by the New World Order, by the Illuminati. Possibly. But we do have some data there. When we talk about the fence, we do have some data there's a fence. It's mandated by federal law. It does have barbed wire on the top. And it's not angled to the right or left, in or out. It's just sticking straight up. So we have some data. When it comes to this deep underground base underneath the Denver airport, that's where we don't have data, not real hardcore data. I mean, it's pretty hardcore data when you can go out and look at the fence, right? That's pretty hardcore data. But we don't have really hardcore data when it comes to this deep underground base. And it is a story that is plausible. The U.S. government has something like, I don't know, 150 or so of these deep underground bases. So it's plausible, entirely plausible and possible, that there's one there. Let's take a look at the runways and see if the runways would indicate anything about that. This airport was built when Denver had a large airport that was very functional. It was called Stapleton. There are fewer runways at the Denver International Airport. So, in a way, it did reduce the capacity of the airport. It has a reduced capacity in terms of the number of runways. At Stapleton Airport, the runways are 10,000 feet long. And in case you don't know it, that's just under 2 miles. A mile is 5,280 feet. At Stapleton, they are 10,000 feet long. That's a long runway. But it's the minimum required by the FAA for commercial air traffic. So now we go over to the Denver International Airport. There are 6 runways. Five of those runways are 12,000 feet long, so they are just over 2 miles long. And one runway is 16,000 feet long. Why? All of these runways are longer than required by statute, by regulation. All of the runways at the Denver International Airport, they're all longer than is required by regulation. And one of them is way longer. One of them is 16,000 feet. Each of these runways is 150 feet wide. So these are not little constructions. These are big. These are big. Is there anything about these runways that would indicate to us that there may be some military significance, albeit secret military significance, to the Denver International Airport? I would think yes. The length of the runways and the width of the runways, I would think, do indicate the plausibility of there being some type of military connection, some military significance to this airport. And, of course, that sort of dovetails into the idea that there is, under the airport, a deep underground base. So the physical construction up top seems to give some credibility to the idea that there may be some type of military base down below. Again, we don't have hard data that we can go out there and look at. You're not going to go out there and knock on some door and say, you know, I want to see your deep underground base here. You might do it. You're not going to get to see a deep underground base if it's there. You're not going to get to see it. So it's very, very hard for us to come by hard data about that. There are rumors. There are testimonies by various people. But hard data we don't have. And therefore, let me say to the military types that are listening to the show tonight, if you don't want us to speculate, you got to put some data on the table. Otherwise, you got to live with the speculation, because when in the absence of data, all speculation is valid. And so, in the absence of real hard data here, we can speculate fairly reasonably. And by that I mean it's not wild-eyed to speculate there may be a military base underground at the Denver International Airport. Certainly, what's up top, the runways, far exceed what is actually needed for commercial aircraft. There's not a commercial aircraft that needs a 16,000-foot runway. There simply isn't. And so I would think that that's the first thing that we would need to take a look at. I also would think that we would need to take a look at history. Not ancient history either. Recent history. Is there anything happening? Has anything happened at the Denver International Airport that would tend to make us think there's some kind of secret something going on of a military nature? Anything at all? Is there anything in the Denver International Airport history that would point that direction? Or is it just day after day, week after week, year after year, passenger planes coming in, passenger planes taking off, cargo planes coming in, you know, like UPS and FedEx and DHL, and then cargo planes taking off. Is there anything else that would tell us in the history of this airport that something out there is different? Well, as a matter of fact, there is. You knew that before I mean, the fact that I asked the question, you knew I was going to tell you. As a matter of fact, yes, there is. This is an airport that cost $4.8 billion in 1995. Do you know of an airport that could cost that much in 1995? I mean, you know, it appears, doesn't it? It really does appear when you stop and think about it. They spent $4.8 billion to build fewer runways than they already had. And they built this airport with runways that are far longer than are required. And they spent how much? $4.8 billion with a B. $4.8 billion. On what? What did they spend $4.8 billion on? In 1995, $4.8 billion would... This is off the top of my head, but it would be somewhere close to $10 billion in today's money. On what? It's a pretty airport, I give you that. It's got a nice system of underground tunnels for subways to get you from one terminal to another. That took money. But when you add up everything that's out there that you can see, everything, every part of the airport that you can observe either from the air or from walking through it or riding in the subway, everything that can be observed publicly, added up, there's not $4.8 billion in 1995 money worth of stuff there. So, is there anything in the history of this airport that would indicate to us something else is going on? Well, yes, it starts right at the beginning in 1995, and there's something else in 2007. We will return right after this.
But nothing's hotter than the Kevin Smith Show.
All right, welcome back. Sorry for the silence. I pushed a button that didn't stay pushed. I had to push it again. Okay, as we went to break, I said, is there anything else that would indicate to us that there's something else going on at the Denver International Airport than just day after day after day after day of passenger flights coming in, passenger flights leaving, cargo flights coming in, cargo flights going out? Is there anything else that's going on, that's in the history of this airport, that would indicate to us that there is something else going on there? And I said, as a matter of fact, there is. Now, I had already mentioned, look at the airport. There's not $4.8 billion worth of anything there. It's not a trashy airport. It's a magnificent airport. But there's not $4.8 billion in 1995 money. But is there anything else? And I said, yes. There is something else in the history of this airport going back to 2007. It's something that no one has made much of. Nobody has talked about it much. Oh, there are a few things that have been posted in forums. You know, people have chatted about it, just sort of, kind of. This is big. This is huge. First of all, what I'm about to tell you about started abruptly and ended abruptly. It had a start and a finish. It was not some sort of transient something that just once in a while would happen. There was a start date. There was an end date. Both in 2007. What was it? Are you aware of the fact, ladies and gentlemen, that in 2007, at the Denver International Airport, 14, that's 10 plus 4, 14 commercial aircraft reported that their windshields, kind of important because the pilot and co-pilot are sitting on one side of those windshields, and those windshields are really wind shields. And, I mean, try taking 200-mile-an-hour wind straight in the face. That's pretty tough. Their windshields just spontaneously shattered. 14 of them. 14 commercial aircraft. And their windshields just spontaneously shattered. In other words, they didn't hit something. They didn't hit a duck. They didn't hit a goose. You know, they didn't hit any other kind of bird. They're just flying along right there at the airport, landing or taking off, and pew, their windshields shattered from no apparent reason. 14 of them in 2007. And it was presumed that it was from some type of electromagnetic pulse. Now, how would you presume that? Well, we didn't see anything hit the aircraft. And the pilots and co-pilots must have seen some type of disturbance in their instruments, or the presumption of an electromagnetic pulse would not have been made. Does that sound to you like any other international airport you know of? Something was going on, at least in 2007, for which there is hard data. There's no hard data as to what actually caused this phenomenon. Nobody saw anything. Nobody heard anything. But 14 commercial aircraft flying into or out of that airport experienced having the windshield shattered from no apparent cause. And the presumption was made it was electromagnetic pulse. So the question that we've been looking at, and the question I've been asking, is there anything about this airport that would tell us something else is going on there? And I think I've answered the question. Yes. Some of the conspiracy theories may have points about them that are correct. There are some points, as I've pointed out, that are not correct. And there's hard data that verifies that some of those points are not correct. We've talked about that. Some of the other points in these conspiracy theories may be correct. They may be getting it right on some maybe even many points. But is there anything about the airport itself and about its history that points to, that's hard data and points to something else is going on there? And the question at the beginning was, is it plausible that there is some kind of deep underground military base under that airport? Is it plausible? Well, yeah, it's plausible. Is it possible? Yeah, it's possible. Is there anything about the airport, is there anything about its history that would point to the direction of saying, yeah, that adds some credibility to the idea that it's plausible? And I think, again, I've pointed out some very definite things here. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, the thing that really matters is there was some kind of apparent electromagnetic pulse knocking out the windshields on commercial aircraft at that airport. That is a signal. An electromagnetic pulse is a signal. And this whole thing started with the story about some garage door openers 30 miles away that have been knocked out. The power was not knocked out. There's nothing in that article that says that the power in their houses was knocked out. There's nothing in that article that says the lights went out, the refrigerator wouldn't work. Nothing like that. It's a signal interfering with the signals that control those garage door openers. And it's from somewhere, either locally or distant. And the writer of the article felt it necessary to point out Denver International Airport. Well, it is a fact. It is within 30. It's about 30 miles away. That's a fact. That's a verifiable fact. But if what we're talking about here is very similar, if there is a connection between the signal that hit these garage door openers, if there's a connection between that and the Denver International Airport, we're talking about a distance of 30 miles, and we're talking about something highly directed, and we're talking about something that hit only a very small part of a very small town. When we're talking about these 14 aircraft, 14 commercial aircraft had their windows spontaneously shattered, their windshields spontaneously shattered. The other aircraft at the airport didn't. This aircraft did. Later, here comes another aircraft. That one experiences the spontaneous shattering of the windshield, but other aircraft at the airport didn't. That is a highly directional signal. Now, does that mean to you, does it say to you, that this supports the plausibility of the idea that something else is going on there besides just the airport? Well, to me, it says that's a plausible notion. When you can hit 14 aircraft one at a time and leave all the other aircraft in the area alone, that's highly directional. If there is a connection between the situation in Arvada and the Denver International Airport, if that is a connection, then we're talking about something that's powerful enough to reach out 30 miles and be highly directional. Where is the evil in the open here? The evil in the open is when people spin stories that take our focus off the ball. When people spin stories that don't focus on the real story, things for which we do have data. When you spin the story, either to the left or to the right, you take our eye off the ball. And if you keep your eye on this ball, I think you have to come to the conclusion that something is going on that's not just commercial air flight. I think you have to come to the conclusion that even though you may not know exactly what it is that's going on there, there is something going on other than just commercial air flight. Spinning it to the right, spinning it to the left, causes people to unfocus. If the truth is here and you get people to look over there, you've done a disservice to them and the future. And that's evil. Evil in the open is ignorance. Evil in the open is lying to keep people ignorant. That's the evil in the open. Speaking of open, I am going to open the telephone lines and the flash message option. That's working again. That's a great thing. But you may have a comment or two that you would like to make about the Denver International Airport, or maybe you would like to make a comment about some of my observations here tonight. Or maybe you have a question. I cannot guarantee that I have an answer, but I do guarantee that you can ask your question, and I'll try to answer it. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. The telephones are open. If you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can either call that number or use the flash message option on my website. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jerome.
Hi. I think you're spot on identifying the airport through the runways as being more than just a commercial airport.
Yeah. And, I don't know of any commercial aircraft that needs 16,000 feet.
Also, as far as the windshields shattering, are you suggesting that somebody there caused those to shatter on purpose?
I think it's highly possible. Can you hang on through this break?
Sure.
All right, you hang on. We'll be back, ladies and gentlemen, right after this, so don't go away. Welcome back, and we are talking with Jerome from Pennsylvania. Jerome, are you still with us?
Yes, I am, Kevin.
Okay. You had asked, am I suggesting that that was caused by someone? Well, it was suggested at the time that, in fact, this was being caused by some type of electromagnetic pulse. If it's an EMP, it was not a general EMP over the area because no other plane at the time experienced it. That means it was a directed, aimed electromagnetic pulse. So the answer is yes.
I understand what you're saying about it being a directed magnetic impulse, but I don't think it was. I think it's accidental because I don't think that they would want to risk catastrophe. I mean, if one of those airplanes would crash, and that would just cause more focused attention on the airport. And I don't think they would want that. I think this was an accidental, it may have been directed, but it was accidentally directed. I know that sounds weird, but
wait a minute.
Just seems like the consequences of having a plane crash would cause more attention just as you focused your attention on the air, on the runway.
Okay, Jerome,
and,
take a breath.
And also on the windshields.
Okay, Jerome, take a breath. It was not an accident. 14 times they had this accident during 2007. 14 separate aircraft on different occasions, and it was an accident?
I'm having a real time or hard time hearing you, Kevin.
All right,
but I understand that you said about the 14 times, and I do understand how that doesn't really play into my argument. But it just seems like why risk that catastrophe?
They don't care. They simply do not. Let me turn my mic up. Maybe you can hear me better. They simply
a little bit better there, Kevin.
Okay. They simply do not care if you know. Believe me, evil is in the open. They don't care if you know. 14 separate aircraft, 14 times during the year of 2007, that's not an accident.
Well, it's like you said, they don't care, and I do believe that at least you are a beacon of light shining the truth.
Well, I try to be. Jerome, thanks for the call.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right. All right, we do have time for one more. We did get a flash message, but it is empty. It's not showing up on the screen. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hello, Brent.
If I'm not mistaken, airplane windscreens, the front ones, are not your simple windshields. They're essentially bulletproof, aren't they?
No, they're not bulletproof, but they are strong.
Yeah. Okay, now I'm going to tell you a little story. I live by something I call the philosopher's bane. And by that I mean that I am very hesitant to tell people to try to convince people of my opinion on anything, because if I'm wrong and I lead them astray, I couldn't live with myself. Now, a few months ago, we had some missionaries visiting the house, and I asked one of them that question. He said, if you're wrong, do you care? He said, no. That, in my opinion, would be what you would call evil.
I would have to agree with you. On the one hand, people misunderstand. Once I say something, you're entitled to whatever reaction to it you have, and it's okay with me, whatever your reaction is. But I do care before I say it. I try to make sure that I'm saying what I really mean. And when I do get it wrong, I try to come back and say, look, that, you know, I said it in a way that didn't convey what I meant to convey. Let's try it again. But once I get it said and you know, people have reactions, some love it, some hate it, some go outrageous with it, you're entitled to your reaction. It's okay. But do I care if it's correct? Oh, absolutely I care.
There's also a difference between you and the missionary.
Yeah, that's probably not the only difference between me and the missionary. All right, Brent, thanks for the call. I got to run along. We have time for one, maybe two more calls. If you want to call and comment on this thing about the Denver International Airport, feel free to do so. And, ladies and gentlemen, the telephone number is 623-444-5889. Do you know how the powers that be know if their fear tactics are winning? When you shut up. When you're afraid to call, when you're afraid to talk, they know they're winning. And over the past few weeks, not only this show, but on other shows, I've noticed they've been winning. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Oh, hang on, caller, hang on. Let's push the right button. All right. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller. Okay. We can't hear the caller. Yeah, I've noticed not only on this show, but on some other shows. I've been working on this other project, so I've had the opportunity to listen to some other shows. And I've noticed the PTBs are winning. You don't want to think they are, but they are. And the one way that you can tell is you're afraid to speak. If you turn into sheeple, if you turn into chicken littles, they win. All right, we'll give it another try here. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? And no audio from... Hang on a second. All right, that's a little better. Let's try it again. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Steve from San Diego.
Hey, Steve. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, just... I don't know if you mentioned it earlier because I didn't get the first hour, but the Indians claimed that the site was a burial ground and building the airport there would have bad luck. And something more recent than 2007 was that earthquake in southern Colorado on August the 23rd of last year, 2011. What I heard is that there's a giant base underneath the Denver airport that extends all the way down there. And coincidentally, that day there were two earthquakes, one in Colorado and one in under the Virginia, Washington, D.C. area. And I don't know if you've ever heard of Benjamin Fulford. He's a guy that puts out some... government scuttlebutt, you might say. And he claims that there were two atom bombs exploded, one underneath that base that leads to Denver Airport and one underneath the Washington, D.C. area, where there is a lot of underground facilities for quarters in case of warfare.
Yeah, there we go. I stepped away from this for a few days, and I've forgotten where all the controls are. I used to be able to kind of just reach over there and feel it. Yeah, I've heard about all of that. Unfortunately, we are out of time, and the end of the show is about to take over. And what that means is we're going to have to go. Steve, thanks for the call. Yes, I have heard all of that, and I don't know if it's true at all. If it is completely disturbing. All right, that's going to do it for this evening. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do, too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.